when you have that, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek which with a shore, into which they were minded if it were possible to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder band and hosed up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. Amen. And we'll continue to talk about how we should be led of the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. I believe it's been a good teaching and a good lesson for us. Amen. If you were not here on the Bible study nights, you should at least ask where you can get a copy of the CD. Amen. Because it is some good word, if I must say so myself, and not because it's me, it's only my voice, but the Spirit of God is the teacher. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought and topic in your ears this morning, that he will lead you through the storm. Simple. Amen. Know that God will lead you through the storm. Amen. There's many lessons that we can see in this chapter number 27 of the book of Acts. So many lessons that we can learn from the things that was experienced here at Paul's shipwreck. Amen. But when we look at the book of Acts, we need to know that the book of Acts, some calls it the Acts of the Church. Others say that it's the Acts of the Apostles. And we need to realize that the book of Acts did not come to an end like the other books with a amen or some bidding of farewell, but it just closed up. Amen. But what we have to realize is that the book of Acts is continuing to be written as we live today, because the church lives on. Amen. How many know the church is not the building that we're in? The church is all of us assembled together. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. Amen. And this book of Acts was written by Luke, the physician. Amen. Remember Luke, he wrote the gospel according to Saint Luke. Amen. Don't y'all go to sleep on me now. Amen. But it's written by Luke, and Luke wrote the gospel according to Saint Luke, and he wrote to Theophilus. Amen. The one whose name means the lover of God. Amen. And so this book of Acts is written to us, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the believers. The Acts that are written here are written to those other believers and those people who love God, the lovers of God. Amen. And so he records, because he's part of the convoy that is with Paul, and he accompanies Paul on several of his missionary journeys. Amen. And so he's able to write and be an eyewitness of many of the things that he wrote about. Hallelujah. And so here it is. We find that Paul, in the beginning of chapter 27, you'll see where he was destined to go to Rome, because the Lord had spoken that he must go to Rome. Come on and say amen. They had arrested him, and we find out that as they arrested him, it was time for him to go to Rome. He had, on his way, wherever he went, he tried to share word with whoever he met. He did not consider, because there was a person that was a dignitary, he didn't consider their status and say, well, I'm not going to bother them with such a lowly gospel. But he talked to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ to the point that one of them said, Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Now, what we need to do is take a page from Paul's book. It doesn't matter who it is, where they come from, what they are doing, or what they have done. They need to be told about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, he said, Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Amen. Is there any persuasion in your life as a Christian? Or maybe you're so politically correct that you refuse to share your gospel, the good news, with somebody because you're saying, oh, well, they said that we shouldn't do this on the job. Or better yet, we shouldn't try to force our religion on anyone. It's not forcing it. It's sharing it. Amen? When you share something, you're not forcing them to eat. If I had a sandwich and I said, Brother Eric, would you like a piece of my sandwich? I'm not forcing him to eat it. I'm only offering him an opportunity that he didn't have. Amen. And so there's not a forcing, amen, but it's a sharing. Amen. And how many know that if it's something good, you want to share it with everybody? Oh, yeah, if I got something good, if I got something brand new, I want to share my good news with everybody that I see. Amen. If I get a new car, a new house, a new whatever, iPad, whatever it is, I want to share. Hey, look what I got. I got me. How many of you women that if you got an engagement ring or even if you got a new ring, you won't say, look what my honey bought me. Come on and say amen. And so if it's something good, wouldn't you want to share it with everybody that you see? Even if you don't want to say it right out, you'll put your hand up to where they could notice what you have, and maybe they'll ask you about it. And so while they're looking at the bling, amen, they ask you about your ring. Come on and say amen. And so all I'm saying is that you ought to light yourself up with the word of God so much that people will ask what's on the inside of you that keeps you from acting like everybody else, because you're a royal priesthood. Oh, come on and say amen. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar, not predictable. Amen. And so Paul here, he's arrested and he's sharing his gospel, and because he was in a situation, Paul didn't stop to ask God to deliver him. Man, many of us, when we get in a situation, the first thing we say, God, you got to deliver me from where I am. You got to take me out of this. But Paul says that he didn't ask God to deliver because he knew that there was a purpose for what he was dealing with. Come on and say amen. But and I'm trying to get to it because I know it'll be long if I keep going like I am right now. But they in verse 10, you'll see here that Paul has a certain discernment. Now, the Bible says that he'll give us, according to the Spirit, when we receive the Holy Spirit of God, that God will give us discernment. Amen. How many got discernment? Amen. Well, don't put your hands up. That's okay. Because some of our discernment is not really discernment. It's discernments. Amen. Because we know how to say, oh, look, something spooky about them. Something ain't right. And we calling people on the telephone and trying to say we got discernment. And really, we just discern mess. Come on and say amen. It's easy to discern mess. Anybody can know when some mess about to break out, or anybody can start some mess. But it's hard. It's a little bit harder to discern the spiritual things because you can't do it in the flesh. You can't do it with your soul, your mind, your will, your emotion. But he says it takes spiritual things to judge spiritual. Amen. But we find out that Paul had discernment. And when you're led of the Spirit, you have a certain discernment about you. God allows you to be able to discern the things that a natural man couldn't discern. Look, he says in verse 10, if you look at that for a minute, he said, and he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also our lives. Now, what we got to see here is that they found a boat that was going to take them, a ship that was going to take them to Rome, but this ship had a different purpose than to carry passengers. It had a precious cargo. So that's why Paul said that, sirs, I perceive, I have a discernment that something could happen to not only to our lives, but to the cargo of the ship, what you deem precious, your purpose for going out in the first place. Come on and say amen. And so he begins to let them know that, hey, they had decided that we're going to leave one place and go to another place. Now, the thing about this is that they were leaving one place because there was not enough commodities. In other words, it wasn't convenient for them to be there. It was an inconvenience. So they left one place because of the inconvenience, only to find themselves in a storm. So you need to beware of being moving around, doing something different. I got to do a change of scenery. I got to move away and go to Texas. I got to go to Alabama. I got to go to Mississippi because I'm inconvenienced around here, because you don't know what storm is in the way of your travel. But discernment will reveal to you the things that you don't know. The scripture even tells us that I had not seen, ear nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has what? In store for him. But it has been revealed by his spirit. Amen. And the spirit of God will reveal it. Now we find out that they had some, Paul had discernment, and we're going to talk about discernment more. But then in verse 11, look at what it says. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now, here it is. Now, even though Paul had discernment, there were some people who were in control of the thing that had some disobedience. And sometimes disobedience will get us in a situation that we don't need to be in. A situation that'll make us doubt, a situation that'll put us in despair, a situation that'll get us in the threat of destruction because we what? Disobeyed. Help me, Holy Ghost. All right, and so we find out that that Paul had discernment, but they were disobedient, amen? And then we find out because of their disobedience, not only were they in despair and in danger, but they were discouraged. Look at verse 20. It says, and when neither sun or stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved then was taken away. Look at that. Paul says that, Luke says in his writing, he says that when we didn't see the stars or the sun, we didn't see the moon, we didn't see no light. And how many know that sometimes you can get in a situation where you don't see any light? Now, the importance of them being able to see the stars or even the sun or the moon was that they needed it for navigation. They needed it to be able to know which direction they needed to sail in. Come on and say amen. And sometimes when we're in a situation that seems like it's really dark, you know, and they say the darkest hour is right before day. Come on and say amen. It seems like it's really dark and we can't see our way. I have no guidance, no direction. I don't know what to do. And some of us, we want to throw up our hands. We want to do a what? Marvin Gaye. Make you want to holler, throw up both our hands and say, forget it. That's it. I'm just going to sit right here. Come on and say amen. But they could not see their way. It was dark in the place. It was no stars, no sun. There was no warmth. Amen. And they didn't know how to navigate. They couldn't see their way. And all of a sudden, they said, look like we're not going to make it. It said that it seemed like all hope was taken away from us, that we should be saved. Come on and say amen. And sometimes it looks like it's going to be bad. Yes, it looks like it's so dim and grim, it's so dark, it looks like it's going to be bad. And you begin to weep in the middle of the night. Come on. And sometimes your day turns into a night. It's so dark. Come on and say amen. But we need to know that weeping may endure for a night. Y'all with me this morning? But joy cometh when? In the morning. Amen. And so look at this. He said, now they had many days there was no sunlight, and they were very discouraged, and they had no hope. Seemed like they weren't going to be saved because of this storm that they were in. Eurycleidon is what it's called. They were even naming storms back then. Amen. Katrina wasn't the first time they started naming them. Amen. And they knew that they so that they can say this was a bad, bad storm. Amen. And this storm lasted for day in and day out. It lasted days and weeks at a time. This was more than Sandy. This was a super storm. Amen. It was worse than Sandy. Come on and say amen here. It was days and days. And then he says in verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosened from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. He said, now, if you would have listened, you wouldn't be discouraged. Now, that's what is important right now. Why is it important right now for us to read that scripture? It's because God gives us a word every week. But if you would have listened, Lord, help me today. Paul said, look, sirs, if you would have listened, he did it respectful, but he let them know, if you would have just took heed to the word that came forth, we wouldn't have gotten to the point that we're about to suffer a great loss. See, God always gives you warning before destruction. He always lets you know what's going to happen before you get in a situation. Come on and say amen. He lets you know, oh yeah, he lets the clouds come before the rain come. Come on and say amen. He lets you know he sounds the alarm before the tornado hits. He lets you know that there's something coming before it actually comes. But then Paul, in the midst of a disappointing time, Paul turns around in verse 22 and he said, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. Paul said, nobody's going to die. So be of good cheer. Come on and say amen. He said, but you may lose some things, but you'll still have your life. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, look at this. They were in great danger, but here it is, Paul saying, I want to encourage you that what you're fearing is going to happen and look like all hope is gone, look like you're disappointed, look like you're destitute of faith. Come on and say amen. But, and look like you're discouraged. Oh, come on and say amen because of your disobedience. But I'm here to encourage you that nothing will harm you, but we're going to lose some stuff. And then Paul says, the reason why I know is because the angel of God, whose I am. The reason why God is going to deliver is because of who I serve. The reason why God is going to deliver is because I've had communion with him. I fasted, I prayed, and he spoke. Come on and say amen. Anybody here fasted? Anybody prayed and God ever spoke to you? And you need to rest on what God has said. Paul said, the God whom I serve stood by me and promised me. And what did God do? God just reminded him of his word. He didn't tell him something different. That's why sometimes we hear this word over and over and over. When you're led of God, you don't mind hearing the word over, because what God is doing, he's reminding you of what he promised you. He promised Paul that, Paul, you're not going to die at Crete. Paul, you're not going to die in Jerusalem. But Paul, you got to go to Rome and preach this gospel. And Paul said, I don't care what happens. I don't care how bad the wind blows. I don't care how bad the storm is. I don't care how long the clouds cover the stars and the moon and the sun, but what I do know is that God has spoke to me and said that I'm not going to die right here, but there's another place for me to go on to, because there's something else I must do. We stop looking at the scenery. Stop walking by sight. Start living by faith. Come on. Stop looking at the circumstance and start looking at the Savior. Come on and say amen. Looking at the Christ who can deliver you, who can set you free. And that's why Paul said, now unto him who's able to keep us from he can keep you from falling into something that you shouldn't be in the first place. But you have to consider what he said at first. Now, yes, he had some things that came up in his heart. Yes, they had some things that came up in their mind and said that we should have did this, should have, would have, could. coulda, but they didn't. Come on and say amen. And we can't change what we didn't do, but what we can do is listen and hear the voice of God and be led of the Spirit, even in the midst of the storm, in the midst of things going wrong, in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of despair, and in the midst of danger. I'm not going to cry out and in despair, but I'm going to cry out and say, thank you, Lord, that you're going to keep me in perfect peace, because my mind is stayed on you. My mind is not on how I'm going to die. My mind is not on how bad it is. My mind is not on how dark it is. My mind is not on how they don't believe what I'm saying. But I'm still going to pray and thank God that he said that I'll make it to Rome. Come on and say amen here. Lord, help us. He said that they talked to him again, and he said, he told him how many was on board. Man, he says, let's go on, and he says, fear not. He told him, don't fear, because I've spoken to God, and God, who's the master of the sea. Oh, come on and say amen. Who can calm the sea, amen? He can calm the sea. He's the master of the sea. Now, look at this. He says, and let's go on a little further. He says, and when they had spoken, after he talked a little while, he told them that they needed to eat because they hadn't eaten for 14 days. And after he spoken to them, he said, you need to eat for your health's sake, because he knew what God was about to do. That's verse 34. Now, 35 says, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when they had broken it, he began to eat. Now, look at this. Paul had communion in the middle of a storm. Now, many of us would have said, it ain't time for that, Paul. Now, we need to be taking care of some other stuff. We need to be trying to figure out how we're going to get out of this mess. And here you are trying to have communion. When he gave thanks, he broke the bread and he went on and ate it. Didn't say that they all took it, but he said that they ate it. Then he says, and he began to eat. And then when they saw him eating, and then they were all of good what? Cheer. And they also took some meat. After they saw him, somebody got to be the leader. And whoever it is, I hope they're spirit led. Because the person who's spirit led won't let this thing get them down, because everybody else is looking at them. And when they saw Paul eating, they begin to cheer up a little bit. They begin to say, well, we might as well eat along with him. We all in this together. And if he can eat, I know I ought to be able to eat. And so sometimes God allows you to be in something with somebody, not so you can bellyache and complain with them and say, woe is us. Look at what they've done to us. But God is allowing you to be in there with them so that you can finally say, I'm still going to have communion with God. I'm still going to give God praise. I'm still going to eat. I don't care what happens. They're not going to make me worry till I can't eat anymore. But I'm going to eat for my health's sake, because we need a word. We need to eat on the word of God so that we'll be healthy enough and fit enough that whatever comes our way, we'll be strong enough to be able to overcome the obstacles that come in our life. Amen. And when they had taken some and they ate, it was 116 souls. And when he had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat unto the sea. Now, they had wheat. That means they had food. They had something that they could have traded and got plenty of money for. And they said, after we took the last supper, come on and say amen, we need to lighten the ship. And some of us, we need to lighten our ship too. We got some stuff that could bless us, but it's weight on us. Come on. And we got some stuff that could be a blessing in our life, but it's really heavy weighted in our life. And we need to start throwing it overboard. Amen. We need to get rid of some things. And what he's saying here is that we need to get rid of the stuff that might cause us to sink. We need to get rid of some stuff that might cause us to drown. We need to get rid of some people that could be good friends, but then again, we might need to drop them overboard. Come on and say amen. We need to get rid of, if money is your problem, you need to say, you know what? I need to let money go and I need to give my heart to God. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh yeah, if food is your problem, turn over your plate and say, you know what? This is why I can't even get God the time that he needs to have, because I'm too busy eating all this food. Come on. If your TV shows are your problem, you need to turn that flat screen off. Better yet, unhook it from the wall if that's your problem, and say, this month I can't be watching nothing, because I'm trying to watch and pray to see what God has for me to do. You don't have to say amen, but that's true. Oh yeah, it could have blessed them. It could have been good for them. But then they said, no, we'll throw it over because we want to survive. We want to make it through this storm rather than drown with all of this. You can have all the money in the world and still die. Oh yeah, you can watch all the TV you want. That still, come on and say amen. That it still don't mean that you're going to watch something that's going to get you through what you're about to go through. Come on. You can watch all the health shows you want. You can watch all the CSI you want. It ain't going to make you no smarter. Oh, come on and say amen. But we need to get the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God that comes from knowing him and having his spirit on the inside, being led of God. They threw it overboard. Verse 39, and when it was day, they knew not the land, but discovered a certain creek which was ashore, with a shore, and into which they were minded if it were possible to thrust the ship. Now, look at this. Now, we find out that they're still in danger. But after they cheered up, they begin to see some daylight. Lord, help me. I said, weeping may endure for a night, but what comes in the morning? They got some joy. Joy came on the next day. Come on and say amen. And so when it was day, they got joy. They took communion that night. And then when it was day, they were able to see a land, but guess what? It was a strange land. They had been in darkness so long, they didn't know where they were. And sometime when we go through trials and tribulation, when we go through heartaches and pains, we're at a point that where I just don't know where I am. I don't know what to do. I don't know which direction to go in. Well, all we need to do is just trust in the Lord. Oh, he says that they didn't know, but what they saw was a good idea. And sometimes a good idea is not God's idea. Oh, yeah, we got to remember that your mind will play tricks on you. Oh, yeah, your mind will make you think that you can get to a place that you really can't. Now, you trusted God to get the joy of the Lord. You trusted God that he's kept you this long, but all of a sudden, you let your soul kick in. You're not operating and following the Spirit like you should do, but now you're trying to reason among yourself. You're trying to reason in your mind. What is the voice of the soul? It's the voice of reason, because I take a calculation of everything I see, hear, feel, touch, and taste. Come on and say amen. I take an evaluation of all of that, and then I make a calculation in my mind, because my mind is the computer. Come on. And it computes what I think I can do, and then we're not walking by what we think we can do. We need to understand that you can do all things through Christ that strengthen you. I'm not looking at my ability to be able to get in. Oh, come on and say amen. They saw a place that they wanted to be, and they said, I believe we can maneuver to get there. God is not telling us that we need to try to make some certain maneuver to get to where he wants us to be, because God has a way of getting us where we need to be. Come on and say amen here. Oh yeah, he said that they were minded that if it were possible to thrust the ship in the creek. Come on and say amen. And verse 40 says, look at this danger that they put themselves in. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hosed up the mainsail and to the wind and made toward shore.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welsh Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpey, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpey, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. so you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box